It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. So the question we're asking is, how can the fight against AIDS decades ago, how can that inform our fight today against the coronavirus? And that enemy infection in the 80s and 90s was HIV, the human immunodeficiency virus, which could have led to the life-threatening AIDS. And health officials say that the AIDS epidemic resembles the current pandemic in at least one way, that it caught our government flat-footed and ill-prepared for a global health crisis. What do you remember about the AIDS crisis of the 80s? How did you feel during that time? How did you see health authorities respond? Let's talk about that history. 800-642-1234. Richard Wagner is an activist and author. His most recent book is called We've Been Here All Along, Wisconsin's Early Gay History. And his next book on our state's gay history is due out in September. Dick, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks. Glad to be here as always.
As you see the pandemic unfold in front of us here in Wisconsin, where do you see the echoes of how Wisconsin responded to the AIDS outbreak in the 80s?
There's so many echoes. One of the issues about AIDS was what to call it. Originally, it was called gay-related immune deficiency before they finally settled on AIDS. We've had some naming issues with our current COVID-19 as well, floating around. Testing was an issue because a lot of gay men were concerned that the testing that was there didn't really tell them what to happen in the rest of their lives. There was no counseling initially, and that became an important thing in terms of testing. And there was talk of quarantine, not the sort of self-quarantine, but of sometimes rounding up those who tested positive and putting them in separate places rather than in their own homes. So they're just like echoes of this that are bouncing through my mind again about the panic and hysteria that was out there then.
How was testing conducted and how did it ramp up in that era?
Well, testing was originally put forward as a way to protect the blood supply since they found that was one of the ways that they were spreading HIV, particularly to hemophiliac patients. And so they wanted to test as much as possible. But since testing could be a marker for homosexuality, many gay men did not feel comfortable with sort of public testing, and they wanted alternative test sites where there could be privacy as well as counseling provided.
Did you see those support structures after the testing, or were these people who went to get tested, did they have that support afterward?
In the alternative test sites, yes, the support was provided. But the main impetus of the testing was to protect the blood supply. It was not to support the individuals. And so, you know, in some ways, the testing, mass testing that's trying to be provided now doesn't really do much, as far as I can tell, to support individuals who might actually find what their test results are.
What was the quarantining like?
There, in the end, wasn't quarantine, but there was a lot of attempts to use HIV as a way to screen people out of things. The Racine School Board wanted to remove anyone who was homosexual on the assumption that they had AIDS from their schools. They also wanted to keep out all the students. You may remember the name Ryan White, who was a student in Kokomo, Indiana, in which some of the AIDS bills were named after in terms of the Ryan White support. You know, the whole question of what to do with students who were possibly HIV positive was a big issue that was flaming around the country and in Wisconsin. Most schools tried to take a compassionate approach based on actual health concerns rather than the hysteria and misinformation that was out there.
We're looking back at the response to AIDS in Wisconsin amid our current pandemic. Our guide is author and activist Dick Wagner, who studied the history of Wisconsin's gay community. You can join in with your history and perspective, 800-642-1234. Dick, how quickly did state and local authorities in Wisconsin recognize the big issue they had, that AIDS as a new public health threat that, and they had to take action. What was that like?
Wisconsin was actually much better at responding than the federal government. Again, you had mixed level of responses at different levels of government. President Reagan, for a long while, even refused to say the word AIDS. But Governor Tony Earle, who was governor in Wisconsin in 83, had created the governor's council, and our early meetings focused on AIDS. Governor Earle wrote a supportive letter to an application to the national health agencies for a grant to assist Wisconsin early on. He had Linda Rivets, who was Secretary of Health and Social Services, create an early AIDS advisory group. And Katie Morrison, who was Director of the Division of Health, initially started reallocating funds. So the state response was pretty good. Another way the state was different than the federal government was that under the Reagan administration Justice Department, they ruled that it was okay to fire people who had AIDS from employment. But the state Equal Rights Division, Mary Fran Tryon, she made a ruling that it was a disability under state law. And because we had a law protecting discrimination on sexual orientation, that you couldn't actually fire people who were showing HIV positive or AIDS from employment in this state. So the state response was early and strong, quite different from what the federal government was doing.
How was it like inside the community at this time as these federal and state initiatives were coming down? Was there a sense of people feeling not alienated, or did, you know, were people on their own?
Some people were on their own, but the community quickly formed a support organization, the Madison AIDS Support Network, Milwaukee AIDS Project, and the Center Project in Green Bay. These were primarily initiated and initially supported by the gay and lesbian community in the state because they knew they needed to do something for their own self-defense, since even with a positive state government, the responses, were slow in coming as to what was happening. So the community needed to take, I can remember going to so many Sweet Sunday fundraiser events to raise money. Small amounts of money were provided to AIDS in the early days, in contrast to the millions, billions, and even trillions that are now being thrown at the corner of COVID-19 crisis. So it was a lot of sort of by the bootstraps effort by the community to initially get a response going.
What did these nonprofits provide? What were the services?
They helped provide prevention information, risk reduction kind of information. At that point, it wasn't masks. It was condoms that were being distributed to try and reduce risk. And they would also provide patient support, which was very crucial because many of the medical profession was still needing to be educated about how to deal with sexual orientation issues. And some of the early pioneers who had worked within the gay community at STD sites were in the forefront of that battle to expand the medical education about the health needs of the lesbian and gay community.
We're talking with author Dick Wagner about lessons from the AIDS crisis of the 80s and what insights carry over to the global health crisis of today. What do you think health authorities learned from the AIDS epidemic? Did they become better prepared to handle the coronavirus outbreak? How do you think Wisconsin's health system could be better prepared for future outbreaks? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Dick Wagner here on the Ideas Network. We're looking at the intersection of HIV/AIDS and COVID-19. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The 23rd International AIDS Conference gets underway Monday. It is virtual. Many talks will look at the crossover between HIV and COVID. What lessons do you think were learned from the AIDS epidemic, or what have health authorities not learned and is still a problem? Join in at 800-642-1234. We have Dick Wagner, the author of a book on Wisconsin's gay history, and he has another one in the works. He stays with us. So, Dick, there is so much anticipation for a vaccine that could be a long way off with a very high price tag. Take us back to the 80s. What was access like to medication or treatment for AIDS?
It was actually fairly difficult. One of the things that the early ACT UP activists were doing was demanding speedier trials to get things to patients that they could actually use. Many of them facing an imminent mortality didn't want to wait for all the protocols to be done if there was a chance that the new drugs might help. I can remember a friend of mine willing to fly to San Francisco, where supposedly trials were underway, because he had no options here in Wisconsin at that point. So there was a lot of concern about whether a vaccine would occur. And contrary to President Trump's statement, there is no vaccine for AIDS at this point. There are treatment drugs, but not a vaccine.
Have treatment costs come down?
I'm not sure what the current prices are compared to what they were initially, but initially they were really quite high. That was another access issue. One of the things that we did learn, which apparently we've forgotten, is that healthcare is not equal across the systems, that minority and poor people have less access to healthcare and the potential solutions that the health system can provide than other folks in our society. And that's something we too easily forget.
How was the state of sexual health education?
Well, that was one of the other big lessons, is that how to have effective health education. There was a pamphlet that was used nationally and was distributed here in Wisconsin that was fairly frank about some of the transmission modes. And some of the politicians were objecting to using such descriptive behavior. And Secretary Rivets again responded that they weren't trying to reach the general public. They were trying to reach the public who really needed the information and who would understand it in ways that were not perhaps genteel, but that would be effective. Trying to make public health messages take effect is really one of the difficulties that we found in AIDS, and one of the things that apparently we're still dealing with now with COVID-19. People just want to not hear the lessons that public health has to teach.
What was it like inside public high schools and, public works in Wisconsin where people were trying to be educated and working and living with HIV/AIDS?
It could vary a lot. One of the things about high schools was that Milwaukee ACT UP distributed pamphlets for information and free condoms outside several high schools in the area. And Marquette High School objected strenuously to that. The Milwaukee Public Schools, while acknowledging their right to distribute, also was not crazy about it. But it was interesting that while after the sort of leafleting and handout of condoms, number of the leaflets were found strewn around on the pavement, but none of the condoms were. So maybe there was a little heartening that some of the high school students were willing to be open to the message of prevention.
We're looking back at the response to AIDS in Wisconsin amid the coronavirus pandemic. Our guide is author and activist Dick Wagner, who has studied the history of Wisconsin's gay community. With your history as well at 800-642-1234. Dick, I wonder, when did you see a turning point where we saw that things were going to change for people living with HIV? Because we're trying to find that turning point right now in the pandemic where we've wrestled with it and we think we have it under control, but we're not there yet. Where was that turning point for HIV and AIDS?
It didn't come till later in the 90s. And even then, it was sort of a little slow, really catching on. So there was over a decade and a half of when we really were struggling with AIDS. So, you know, God help us if we're a decade and a half struggling with COVID-19. But again, more resources are currently being directed on the COVID crisis than they were on the AIDS crisis. It was very slow to ramp up funding for research and prevention efforts over AIDS.
Did you see go ahead.
One of the things that struck me in thinking about this was that AIDS had very strong emotions associated with it. And ACT UP was one of those where the emotion was anger. The other emotion that was really significant was grief, and the gay community found ways to do creative expressions of that grief, the AIDS quilt being perhaps the most well-known example of that. But there were also artists who responded in various ways. We've seen a little bit of anger over the COVID crisis. We have not seen how creative grief can be. It's been largely suppressed, I think, in many ways, and I'm surprised at that.
When you look from the early 90s to later in the 90s, did you see an evolution there in terms of funding, in terms of research, and how the gay community was supported?
Yes, there was. One of the things I was involved with was helping establish the Rodney Scheel House for Persons with AIDS here in Madison. Senator Cole was a U.S. senator from Wisconsin then. He was very helpful in his office in getting the federal funds needed for that. And we worked very closely with local Madison officials to get the approvals for the siting of the buildings for the Rodney Scheel House. And so by the 90s, you'd started to find that political support was relatively good, but it was still a long, drawn-out fight.
What about stigma?
The stigma was still strong, and in fact, to this day, gay men are not supposed to be donating to blood banks because of that concern over the blood supply. Many of the stigmas attached to penalties against gays and the permission for marriage equality have changed some of that environment. But for people who were raised during that period, they carry those scars with them still today.
I'm sitting here looking at a picture of the AIDS Memorial quilt, and I'm wondering, when you see these images, and I'm sure you've seen so many images of the quilt, what goes through your mind?
It's a great sadness. I mean, I went to way too many funerals for young men in that period. And in 1987, when I was out in D.C. for the National March, I was one of the readers of names for the AIDS quilt. And it really was hard to try and express that grief. Shortly after that, I was invited to the war conference, which was trying to get a community response. The current president has talked about he's a wartime president. Well, we really felt we were in a wartime back then for the community, and we needed to marshal whatever resources, and they were few, that we could as part of a response to get a more positive message about the community out as we were facing this deadly peril.
How is the community holding up right now amid the pandemic? How are things?
I think we're battened down like most everybody else. There is a certain amount of fear again, and people talk about, my God, we got to go through another pandemic. Whereas I think for many Americans, this is their first pandemic. But for the gay community, it's like, here we go again.
Does it bring you any, maybe comfort is not the right word, but when you see Anthony Fauci up there in the press conferences and his long history with HIV/AIDS?
Right. I remember him from the old days.
Yeah. How does that make you feel?
I'm glad. I mean, he was one of the people who was out there trying to find solutions, and you know, his professionalism is still strong and still valuable to the nation. I would that we had many more like him in this fight.
Well, Dick, thank you so much for joining us. Take care.
All right. Thanks.
Dick Wagner is an activist and author. We've been talking about the outbreak of AIDS in Wisconsin, comparing the public health response to the coronavirus outbreak. Coming up, we explore how police departments use surplus military gear in Wisconsin as demonstrations against police violence continue. How do you feel about police acquiring military gear through the Defense Department? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll talk about it right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.